Vance, President Biden has been trying to spin the term Bidenomics as a positive term at the State of the Union, of course, touting what he sees as accomplishments economically of his administration. Is that what people, though, at the kitchen table are actually seeing?
It's a pleasure to be with you, first of all. And no, that's not what Americans are seeing. In fact, Americans can't afford Bidenomics. We've seen what the results are of big government spending, higher taxes, higher regulations, going after every merger or deal through antitrust policy. What it's done is it's driven more uncertainty, and the costs of doing business and having economic activity has increased dramatically. And so now we saw inflation that's been soaring. If you go back since January 2021, when Biden came into office, and you take average weekly earnings, which have been growing over time, but you adjust them for CPI inflation, they're down. Those average weekly earnings are down inflation-adjusted dollars by 4.4%. So what does that mean? That means that that same dollar that you were making just January 2021, 3 years ago, is buying you 4.4% less than what you could then. And this has hurt families across the country. So Biden loves to tout Bidenomics, but Americans can't stand it. And in fact, they can't afford it.
The Biden administration, of course, is pushing all manner of additional spending here, aid for Ukraine, aid for Israel, and numerous other big spending proposals. Can you tell us a little bit, what impact does all this government spending, particularly since it's deficit spending, how does that relate to inflation?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think many people would say, well, there's not a connection. Deficits don't matter. But I think we've seen, we know what we've seen in the last couple of years is a direct consequence of those actions. So how do they deal with this? When the government runs a budget deficit, which has been around $2 trillion and looks to be $2 trillion per year for the foreseeable future, they have a couple of ways you can pay for this. Well, you could pay for it through raising taxes dramatically, which they haven't done. You could cut spending dramatically. Well, they haven't done that either. So what they do is they issue bonds, treasury securities, what it's called. The United States Treasury issues these bonds that are purchased out in the economy. And so it's paid for through debt. That's all the bond is a debt. But there are other things that the Treasury can do, right? So when they issue those bonds, that puts upward pressure on interest rates, which is not good for Americans. So we see higher interest rates. Well, then the Federal Reserve, which is the central bank of the United States, says, you know what? That interest rate that's being set in the market is too high. We want to target a lower interest rate. What do? They print money. They buy some of those treasury securities out of the private market, put more money into the economy. And when you have too much money chasing too few goods because of all the higher taxes and regulations that have been put in place by the Biden administration, you get inflation. So we have seen the direct results of the increase in debt, not only from higher interest rates, which mortgage rates are going over 7% now. They were around 3% just a couple of years ago. And we've also seen higher inflation. So these are the direct results of the bad policies from so-called Bidenomics.
You mentioned the word regulation. What impact does all the regulations that we see coming out of Washington these days, Vance? And they even want to regulate things like dishwashers and our lawnmowers. What impact does all this overregulation have on the economy?
Well, it's ridiculous, to your point, whenever you're thinking about dishwashers and everything else. But there's a lot more regulations that the executive branch, the president, has control over. And this administration has used that to the extreme. I worked in the Office of Management and Budget in the Trump White House for a year, and that is where OIRA, which is the regulatory body of the executive branch for the president, we did a lot of the analysis on regulations. And in fact, in the Trump administration, we were able to cut 7 regulations for every new one that was added. So basically, if you look at the first 3 years, there was basically flat in a regulatory cost increase. Compare that now to the Biden administration in the first 3 years. It's been over $400 billion with a B, additional increases in cost across the economy. So while they may not necessarily be jacking up raising taxes dramatically, which they have raised some taxes, they are increasing the cost to all of us through their higher regulations. Regulations really act like a tax. You don't see it directly. It's hidden from us, but it's underlying all the things that we buy on a daily basis. So it's not only the dishwasher, but it's also regulations that have to do with the emission standards for cars. The CAFE standards is what they call them. Well, that raises the price for cars because of the increased cost of producing those cars based on those regulations. And those are just a couple that we're mentioning now, but there are many more that influence our everyday lives.
We are now past Super Tuesday, and obviously former President Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee, and Joe Biden obviously sticking it out here to run for re-election, Vance. It's a rerun of that. So with all the problems that we have had and the terrible economy that we have endured over the last 3 years, if you were advising Donald Trump, what sort of message would you suggest that he conveyed to the American people so that there's some hope that things would get better under a Trump presidency?
I think the main thing that I would get across is we need a hopeful, bold vision for the future of America. People have lost sight of what that vision is, and I think it's one that needs to be brought back front and center about the American vision, having our republic, having free market capitalism, that is really the path for the future. It's not socialism. It's not a direct democracy. There are certain things that have happened in America, this idea from our founding fathers, that are so important that have made us the richest country in the world. And I hope that that will continue. But if we continue this path on the socialism, the road to serfdom, if you will, hearkening back to Friedrich Hayek, we're going to be in a world of trouble. And we're seeing the trouble that we have today. So where should former President Trump start? He should start by saying, look, we're going to cut government spending. We're spending too much. The budget has been bloated before and even more so during COVID and the lockdowns and everything else. So we've got to get control over our fiscal situation, or it's going to influence the entire economy and slow our growth and have less job creation if we don't do anything now. We also need to focus on making the Trump tax cuts permanent, so that way there's more certainty in the economy, but also allowing for people to keep more of their money, because if not, taxes will go up for all income brackets for individuals. And then finally, we need to deregulate. If you cut spending, cut taxes, cut regulations, this will provide an opportunity to unleash families across the country and help out the poorest among us who can be better off and really help to get them to live the American dream that has become out of reach for so many people.
We have been talking with Vance Ginn, who is a former chief economist at the Office of Management and Budget, and he's host of the very popular podcast, Let People Prosper, also president of Ginn Economic Consultants. Vance, tell us a little bit about your podcast and also where can folks go to listen?
Let People Prosper show have a great discussion with a lot of other people who are experts in certain areas. We talk a lot about how to get government out of the way. What are the impediments that are put in place for people, many of them being government? And so what can we do about that? So I have a Let People Prosper show on Mondays, and on Fridays I have This Week's Economy that are all under the same podcast name of Let People Prosper. But I talk about these very issues that you and I have been discussing and much more. You can find all this information on any of your podcast platforms that are out there, but also you can go to vanceginn.com where I have my newsletter and other information where you can get all the key economic insights from a free market perspective.
Vance Ginn, Vance, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.